Oh, Captain, my Captain, welcome to the latest episode of Biff Pal Bam. I'm your host, P-Dubs, as always. And as always, joining me is Tony.
Oh.
And as a nice surprise, hello, Craig.
Meow. Who are you?
Oh, that cat thing. Can't remember what it's called.
A flurkin.
So no need to swear.
So, as you can tell, we are here to talk the Marvels. So we all went and saw it opening weekend. So we're recording this Sunday. I think we've seen it. Each of us have seen it one day over the weekend.
Yeah. I saw it Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Craig, you saw it Saturday night.
You said it Sunday morning.
And I saw it Sunday morning. Easy like a Sunday morning. There was only about 20 of us in there.
Money mine.
Yeah. It was.
We'll talk about it more, but I think generally that seems to be the place everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. Sadly. Yeah, and we'll dive into that. So we're gonna do what we normally do. We don't do reviews. We do what we like and what we don't like. Because reviews are just so redundant. So who wants to kick us off with whichever? I don't mind whether you like it or you don't like it.
Well, I'm going to go straight to the top of the tree, and the person for me that steals the film is Iman Vellani. It's just great to see an actor who's clearly almost too much having such a good time, that it's basically them coming through on screen, isn't it? She's having such a good time in that film.
And to start with, it is a little bit over the top, but I think that's the whole point of it, that we see how she changes over the course of the film.
Yeah.
Because I sat there and I thought, oh, God, they've turned her up even more than she was in her own series.
When she first sees Fury, and she just completely goes from scared to fangirl instantly.
Yeah. And I thought we were going to go through that whole thing again that we had in the TV series with the animated stuff.
Yeah, but there was a little bit of it, wasn't there?
So. Yeah, which is kind of the introduction to that character. Yeah. And I'm going to be honest, this is one of the things that I didn't think worked, and it's nothing to do with her or anything, but touching on that, I do feel like the Miss Marvel series is now basically a prequel to this film, and it was a complete setup. Because there's some things that they really kind of, and this is one of the things that I thought worked as well, was they set the power sets far better in this. And that kind of ties into how I feel like her series was a prequel. I come into this not really needing to know much about Monica. I think they tell that quite well.
It's done in a couple of lines, isn't it? And it's
really whereas Kamala doesn't feel like that. Mm. It feels like they have to tell her whole story again.
But again, I think it's done quite well. There's like a scene in the living room with the family, isn't there? And then there's also
it's
dwell on it too much.
That's what I liked though, because we're starting to see the fruit of the fruits of all the hard work of Marvel paying off now with the series, where do you know when you see a TV series and then it gets uploaded to a film, it gets upgraded to a film, and the sets are always a bit different and everything, it's getting filmed in super HD, whereas on the telly it's not. Well, Miss Marvel and the Marvels, when you're in their house, it's all the same. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's my worry, is that people are going to walk into this film and not know who she is.
Mm.
Whereas I didn't feel like that with Monica.
Right, yeah.
Like, they don't actually introduce her parents and her brother as to who they are.
No.
You just have to guess. And then they become a big part of the film.
Yeah.
There is, maybe something was cut out of it. Maybe a little bit of dialogue has gone, but
yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And the only thing I can think of is that obviously there were some troubles with the guy that plays her dad in real life.
Oh.
And I wonder whether some of it was shrunk down because he doesn't really say a lot at all
no,
in this film.
The mom has most of the dialogue.
Yeah, and even her brother has a bit more to do. And I do wonder whether that was the issue, is that he was in so many scenes that they couldn't cut him out completely, but that they trimmed him down a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the TV show. I wasn't a fan of the series. It was my least favourite out of all the TV shows. But on the strength of this film, I loved it. And I sort of want to go back and give it another chance now.
Yeah, and I definitely think that's my point about the power set, is that I think they kind of worked it out with this film.
Yeah.
Because they don't overdo the embiggening or whatever you want to call it.
The main one is the hand, which was nicely done because they saved on some budget by just showing the hand, didn't they?
Yeah.
It wasn't a full horror. Yeah.
And they kind of pointed out that maybe she's got other powers that we don't know about as well. And yeah, I just felt like they got that right alongside her character. I kind of felt that tied in with what you were saying, Tony. And don't get me wrong, this is by far my favourite film of this phase.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's absolutely no doubt about it, and we'll go a little bit more into that as we go on. But was there anything else you wanted to add to that, Tony? Because I kind of cut in, I interjected.
Well, no, just to say, just seeing her interactions, and it's clearly, it's her as an actress as well, there are interactions with the other two. It's just, and it just comes through so well, and with Sam stroke Nick. And I think it's almost important, because we know that the character was a massive fangirl anyway, so it just comes through so well. And just by extension, I think it was great, the stuff with the family and the living room fight and all that stuff. I think it was just great to see them having a bit of screen time on the big screen.
Yeah. So I'm going to chuck in there, because another one of mine kind of carries that. This film had heart.
Yes.
Which has been missing massively in this phase. You compare it to Ant-Man, when that's meant to be a family. The interactions don't feel warm or connected.
And Ant-Man was a comedy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last one. What I did find disappointing was, and they did this in the last Ant-Man film as well, if I remember rightly, the Ant-Man sidekicks were either missing or very minor roles.
Yep.
Well, Miss Marvel has got some brilliant sidekicks.
Yeah,
the sister and her best mate. I'd agree. I did kind of miss the best mate in this.
But at least they acknowledge them.
Yes,
there are pictures that they zoom in on in her room.
Yeah,
at the beginning they acknowledge that she's got other people, and I think they did the right thing when it's three leads.
Yeah, you've got to slim the cast down a little bit, haven't you? So
and there is three leads. Whatever you say, this is not an out-and-out sequel to Captain Marvel.
No.
In that sense. I know it has the connections, because obviously...
It's effectively a sequel to three things, isn't it? To the two shows and her film. So.
Yeah, very much so. Craig, did you have anything you wanted to give us, good or bad?
Bad. I thought the reason for the Smirkins to breed, I mean, first of all, we don't know how it bred, but it starts laying eggs, which fine, it's an alien, whatever. But
I get that. It kind of just happens, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But the only reason for that to do that was, it was like a plot point.
Yeah.
Just to get the 300 people off the space station.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And
totally
and
get
now
that.
they've got like what 29 kittens, or it was 29 eggs. I remember listening to. I heard that.
Yeah,
it looked like there was a lot more in the end. You know, and that whole scene was a little bit silly.
It was silly, but I laughed like a drag.
Oh yeah, and I did laugh as well.
Them all running away from what they needed to be eaten by, just because it's the only way they're getting off there.
My favorite one was when Kamala put the shield up, and the guy runs into it, and then all of a sudden just gets Gordon's sucked away.
Yeah, cordons him off, and
in a weird sort of way, it reminded me of Moonraker, and I don't know why.
Maybe the end of that when with sort of Jaws and the blonde girl and all that, I suppose.
Yeah, it was just a bit cringy, but again, I was still laughing and I was still grinning from ear to ear.
I think it only works because of the choice of music as well, that they put a bit of Cats in there. Like,
and we have to say, both films, the Flerkins have been a bit of a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they've only been there because they've needed to be.
Yeah.
Like the first one, it was only there so it could rip out Nick's eye.
Yes.
Literally, there's no other reason for that one to Goose to be in the first one at all. And they do build on that a little bit in this film, that we see that it's the cat that they had at the house that Carol took to look after once they realised what it was.
But it's just come to me now about what Craig's mentioned. And I didn't pick on one. I just thought she'd been overfed when the mum said that she looks a bit fat.
Yeah, she looks a bit fat.
I didn't pick up on it at all. Of course. And then, I just picked up on it now, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing, I did have it, but it's gone out of my head. Come back to me.
Well, come back to you. I'm going to throw in something bad. They still haven't nailed CGI at Marvel.
Yeah.
There's very much a couple of moments. The bit where Carol's flying and they do the close-up on her face, and quite clearly it's just her face, and then they've CGI'd her body behind her.
Mm.
Doesn't look great. Yes. And let's touch on the
goose on her shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of it just looks off. There's a couple of bits with Monica as well that isn't great.
We all know it's all bloody rush jobs has been the problem, especially when Scott Shaw rang the schedule, didn't it? So
yeah. And let's talk the end credits scene. It Beast. He doesn't look great.
He didn't look great, no. But, I mean, it could possibly be the greatest end credit scene in the history of end credit scenes.
I think just the appearance sort of distracts everybody enough, doesn't it? I mean, I didn't think it was too bad myself, but I was just lost in the moment more than anything.
Yeah, and the actor who's playing him, obviously, because it just it just brings everything together, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I didn't twig it was his voice at all as he crossed the back of the screen.
See, I'd warned all of you not to go looking because I'd seen it.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't know what was coming, and what came blew my socks off.
I'd heard the rumors a couple of months ago that's what the end credit scene was, and then like the day after it came out in certain countries, it was all over Twitter.
Yeah, because it came out in Australia a day early, didn't it?
Yeah. And I'd seen it, and I'd given it the benefit of the doubt because it wasn't a great version. Obviously, it was recorded in a cinema. And I thought, he looks fairly comic book accurate, which he does. Mm. For me, it was a little bit too clean.
Yeah. But the scene itself, I thought, was a fantastic way to properly bring them into the fold after the sort of Xavier stuff in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I love Kelsey Grammer. I could literally watch him read the telephone book.
Yeah.
Because his voice is just superb. And for all the people that are going, why isn't he in makeup? He's nearly 70. That's why he's not in makeup.
Yeah. And I think you had to have him and not Nick, really, didn't you, for that?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It can't. You can't bring the younger ones in.
But he did get, and he gave me a double tingle when they pulled the camera back in front of him. And apparently, the character is called Binary that she's playing in that verse.
Yeah, yeah, and she is in some universes an X-woman.
Yes.
So it ties in.
Yeah. And just the fact that they pull back in the X's on the door. That, oh no, she's in.
Yeah.
She's in the depths of the.
Yeah, exactly. For me, as I say, the CGI is slightly off, but the fact that Kelsey Grammer has come back in his resurgence of recent months, I think it's great. But
and I think they've basically just confirmed they're going to be coming to the fore after Secret Wars, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So
the other thing that has come into my head, has come back, is...
Yep.
Fury, the last time we seen Fury, he was a semi-broken man. Coming back into power or losing what's left of his power, depends on which way you look at it. Where is that in comparison to this film? Is this after this film? Or is...
Secret Invasion's before this.
Yeah, or as I've now renamed it Secret Binvasion, because that's where it belongs.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, they've completely just written it off. Why?
Yeah.
So it's literally, it doesn't even count to nothing then, does it?
No. No, the only tie-in is now that it's someone else ruling over the aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than Ben Mendelsohn. That's the only thing that it's actually affected.
Yeah.
What I was happy about, super happy about, is A, it's brought the entire X-Men franchise into the fold. And then it's validated three TV shows in just this one film.
Yeah.
I was buzzing my head off because like one of it was just two sentences, like you say. The witch one. And then obviously Miss Marvel, and then Arrow Lady. That just blew me socks off. I was so happy.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to bring up as one of my other plus points, was the appearance of somebody that both me and Paul rather like in the MCU.
Yeah, yeah. She's the dirty secret. I'm not even going to go there. I feel really bad because I was in a room with her when she was a teenager.
Wow.
So it always feels very, very wrong. But she, as she points out, she's in her mid-20s now.
Yeah. And she is a really good actress as well. And I cannot wait to see more Kate. And again, so that last scene, it did feel like they'd moved an end credit scene to the end of the film.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Because I wonder if that's what they did, because it didn't quite fit tonally. To suddenly jump from "Oh, I've got an idea" to her sort of then, but it was so well done that she's sitting in the dark. She's obviously a massive Fury fangirl as well.
Yeah, I love the fact that it's a complete piss take of Fury.
Yeah, yeah,
and that they cut off before she says it. You are now part of the Avengers Initiative.
It was a double whammy for me, because I don't know. Did you know that she was in it, Paul, or not? Or did you see that?
I'd heard rumors, but I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen confirmation that she was in it. And the scene plays out great with Pizza Dog as well. I love that they included him.
Yeah.
And it's the again, as you pointed out, Craig, with the house being the same, her hideout is exactly the same one from the TV series.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if, for example, if Friends had ever been done as a movie, it wouldn't be the same set.
No.
But these are all, because it's all just the MCU. That's what I loved about it.
The film was fun, but those two scenes were massive impacts, I think, on where they're going now with it.
Yeah, so the fact that they've now tied it all together, which is what we've been saying for the last 3-4 years. That they don't, outside of Loki, they haven't felt tied to the bigger story.
Yeah.
No. But we now know the X-Men are coming at some point, and the Young Avengers. So.
Yeah. Yep. Even if they're not called the Young Avengers.
No,
because I think that's the whole point of her pointing out that she's in her 20s.
Yeah.
The rumor is that there'll be the group known as the Champions.
Oh, okay.
So
she also says, doesn't she, as he's sitting there, because Iron Man's got a daughter as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's...
And I'm going to call it now, and I'll probably be miles off, that Iman's going to pop up in a credit sequence at the end of Captain America.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine that maybe she'll, like Sam will hear about her or something.
Yeah.
And that he'll go off and say, we know you're building a team, keep going.
Yeah.
Because that's the rumor that how that film ends, is that Sam basically goes, we do need the Avengers, and I'm going to have to do something about it.
Yeah.
So
it's his nephew, isn't it? Is it his nephew?
Yeah.
He comes on the Young Avengers.
Yeah.
But I can't remember his character's name.
Yeah.
Well, he's not his character, but his alias name as an Avenger.
Yeah, I can't remember it either. Yeah. And I read it the other day because there was talk that they weren't going to do it, but then he's been confirmed that he's in the film now.
Yeah, it's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah. So
that's my prediction. I'll probably be completely wrong there, that she's going to pop up in a cameo.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. So, no, that's... I know a lot of people were against the Young Avengers. They'd said we didn't need Muppet Babies in the MCU. But they're all characters that we've enjoyed. The only one that I probably would say, and it's Ant-Man's daughter, we like Catherine Newton, but the character was pretty pathetic in the last film.
And didn't feel like a grown-up version of the previous two incarnations.
No, unfortunately. But it seems like she'll be there. And we've got a whole other group of characters. We've got Shuri, that's now the Black Panther. I'm sure we'll be involved.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously Wanda's kids are also likely to be in and around that group once they come along in, 18 months now with Agatha. I think will be the reintroduction of those. So there's definitely a decent group of characters to build that team around.
Yeah. I've just thought of something else that worked for me in the film now that I did want to mention.
Yeah.
And it felt almost like a nice kind of two fingers from Brie, is that she's so funny in this one, particularly when she's being the princess in that sequence.
Yep. Well, I was going to bring that up because I think a lot of people are going to hate that scene.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I know they're going to hate it, and I love the fact they're going to hate it.
And normally I hate episodes of TV that kind of jump the shark and do a singing episode because something's taken them over. Yeah. This doesn't feel like that because it's all of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it's done.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. And
she looked amazing in that princess dress.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the Asian lad that was in it, I'm not even going to try and say his name. I thought he did a really good job for what he had to do.
And that was such a great gag that he can talk like us because he's bilingual. It's just brilliant.
Yeah.
Genius, Ronnie.
Yeah. I really like that. And I love the fact that, like, to start with, Carol's like, I'm having absolutely none of this. I'm not getting involved.
Yeah.
And then she goes and sings.
Yeah. Oh, genius. Brilliant.
And the other two are great in that scene as well. They really, really sell it. I really like that. And I agree that Brie is far better in this. The one thing I will say, and this isn't against her, the bloody white tank top is incredibly distracting.
I thought that. I almost texted you about it, but I thought, no, I'll let him watch the film first. And it's,
I know it's not the first time she wore it, because she wore it in the Avengers film when she talks to Thor.
Yeah.
But the fact that she parades around in it for the first 15 minutes of the film is incredibly distracting, and I put that on Marvel. That's down to them for doing that.
Oh, yeah. They did feel like there were one or two two-fingers at the naysayers in this film.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it. I thought more of it.
Yeah, and there's included in the singing and dancing scene when they point out that Monica's not smiling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yep, there's another pop, because Brie got accused of not smiling in the entire first film.
And I
can't say I've seen Brie Larson in loads. I've seen her in obviously the Marvel stuff. I saw her in Skull Island.
Pilgrim as well.
Which is what, coming up 20 years ago now. But she's a geek.
Yeah.
I love the fact, Craig, I don't know whether you were aware of this, but Fresh Bait, the Disneyland bloggers, when Galaxy's Edge opened, Brie was standing in front of him, walking around, geeking out at everything, and everybody was going, David, Brie Larson is in front of you. He's going, Where is she? Had no idea who she was.
No way.
And she was literally, you can see her in the video, walking around, picking up lightsabers and all sorts of things. It's brilliant. She's an absolute geek and auditioned to play Rey and didn't get it.
Wow.
And was gutted, and she's still campaigning to be in a Star Wars film.
Cool.
I can't have any hate for Brie. I didn't like the first film. I will say it now. I've watched it twice, and I didn't think it was great. But I enjoyed her performances in the Avengers films, and this is by far a better performance in this one.
I also think as well in this film, and again, it was one of my other plus points. I'm sort of jumping, nicking out a loyal point. Is the power switching sort of restricted her a little bit?
Yeah,
she couldn't be completely overpowered, but it works so well for those fight sequences.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of my thing with the setting out the power sets,
because
I think it worked really well that they couldn't kind of go full force.
No,
yeah.
And I think a lot of people have had that complaint about Captain Marvel, is that she's too overpowered.
Yeah,
we don't really see that until the sun at the end.
No. Yeah, she's flying through spaceships and everything and destroying planets.
Yeah,
and on this, she can't because of what's going on with the flip. It's brilliant, it's genius. Yeah. And I thought it was going to be really tiresome as well, but once they did their little montage of practicing, it helped it. I thought
it's really well choreographed, I think, as well. The stunt coordinators worked their money on this film.
Yeah, very much so. Did either of you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
I just got a summary, and I had a really good time with it. I laughed a lot. It set out its comedy store that it wasn't not like Love and Thunder, or Love and Blunder, as I call it, which tonally was all over the place, the comedy sitting alongside the cancer stuff and didn't work. In this, it set out that it was going to be a fun romp across a bit of the galaxy. And the sort of serious stuff was more the side story. Yes, there were one or two, there have been one or two complaints I've seen, like where, going back to the Singing Planet, where it sort of just seems to be tossed aside without any sort of, any thought to it afterwards. I'd agree, and I wondered if that was maybe some cut scene somewhere that dealt with that. But overall, I just had fun with it. And it's been the most... In fact, I had more fun even this with Guardians, because Guardians 3 gone quite serious compared to the first three. And the comedy in Blunder didn't work for me. And it did in this. It set out its stall.
Yeah.
Arguably, it was almost too frenetic maybe at times for its running time. But,
at times it didn't feel like it was only an hour and a half.
No.
It told its story well.
Yeah.
For only being an hour and a half. I never felt shortchanged at any point.
No.
The only other thing I was going to bring up, and I think it's been brought up a lot by other people, and it's not a bad thing for me, it is the D-list villain, as people are putting it. I don't care about the villain.
It's
a one and done. I don't need to care about them. No. Unless it's the overarching one.
Yeah.
That's something they've done wrong.
So far, I can understand.
Yeah.
Kang wasn't up to it. But in this, she's there just to service the story.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have never needed it. It was the same with Ronan.
Yeah.
It was all right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Did it matter?
I mean, it's ego? Really the God Butcher in recent has been short serviced, I think, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. In recent film. And again, you have to wonder, are they ever going to do justice to one that's going to be one and done? And it's fine by me, but maybe when you've got someone like Gore, that he probably shouldn't be one and done.
Yeah.
He should be a Thor trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had some great villains that have continued. Loki, Thanos, and I'm sure Kang, if Jonathan Majors does stick around, we don't know whether he will, and I'm sure they will do him justice eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But with these ones that are going to be in one film, I don't need to have a spellbinding villain.
No, I totally agree.
So that was kind of not good or bad. It was just a feeling that I had on it. And we have to say, congratulations to both Tom and Zor for having a killer weekend. Mm. They both knocked it out of the park. Hopefully they're enjoying it with their little one, which I'm sure, but possibly not, because I know that Tom was in New York at the back end of last week, so he probably wasn't at home.
Because I don't know whether Craig's aware. I was only recently made aware that they're married, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't know.
So there is a baby Loki / Kree baby out there somewhere.
Yeah.
but yeah, congratulations to both of them, because I think they had a really good weekend. I don't think we've got to say, and I'll wrap mine up before I pass over to you, Craig, for your wrap up. I thoroughly enjoyed this film. Doesn't deserve the beating it's taken at the box office. It's the lowest opening weekend for an MCU film ever. Really doesn't deserve that at all. And there's a multitude of reasons why it's happened. As people have pointed out, there's Disney Plus, there's just a lack of love for comic book films at the moment. And I'm sure it'll come back round again in the next few years.
And there is no doubt an element of the fanboys particularly just don't like female lead characters taking the stand.
Yeah, and I'd like to point out, despite the fact that I said Miss Marvel was probably my least favourite series and Captain Marvel was one of my least favourite films, it's not because of the fact that they were female. They just weren't the best.
And didn't gel, did they, finish?
Yeah. Just one of those things. I didn't think Guardians were great either, despite the fact that loads of people love it.
Mm. But
Love and Thunder's the worst film the MCU's made.
Mm. Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with who's in the lead. It's just what the film is about.
Yeah.
And this one's gone right up, and as I say, is my favourite film of the multiverse saga so far, I think.
Yeah.
Just because it's fun. Yeah. That's what I go to the cinema for. Well, Tony, you and I talk about this all the time when we're reviewing Oscar films. Some of them just aren't entertaining at all. I go to the cinema on a Sunday morning to be entertained.
Yeah, and even though some we've agreed they're well made and they're well done, they work much better on the small screen sometimes, don't they? Some of the ones we've seen.
Yeah, definitely.
Because of the subject matter and their intensity. Whereas, Sunday morning, Friday afternoon, Saturday night, go and switch off for a couple of hours and it does it in space.
Yeah, definitely. So, Craig, your final thoughts as well?
For me, it's a return to form. I just thought it was, it's not a 2-hour epic. It's not laugh a minute, but there's elements of comedy in it. I was grinning from ear to ear. It's moved the story on, and it's pulled in a lot of the MCU, pulled it where we've all been. I mean, I primarily just listen to you guys, but you're what was that for? What was that series for? What was that series for? Now we're starting to see it all get pulled together. You know, Guardians was a hard watch, and I wanted to love it so much, and I do. It's a good film, but this is better. Quantumania, it was just like a wet fart. Thor, Love and Thunder, yeah, you know, it was just, they were starting to get tiresome, and that's the last thing you want.
Yeah,
and I think this, I'm sitting here now looking on Disney Plus. You know, you've got even the, I've all these films, right, I've only watched once, so I've only seen Multiverse of Madness once because I can't be asked. But now, because of this film, it's making me want to go and see what little bits I've missed, and just go back and have a rewatch of them all. You know, there's so much Marvel now to watch. You can't, like our Eve when a new film, our Grace when a new film come out, would go back to the start of the MCU and watch them all ready for
that. Can't do that. You cannot do that anymore.
You no. cannot do that now because it's hundreds of hours. You know, yeah. Moon Knight, stunning series. I've only watched it once.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just getting to that point. Kerry taps out now. Carla last night in the car was hysterical. The two of them, we were screaming at them, explaining everything to them because they've seen them. But nothing sinks in anymore because there's that many threads going on and that many storylines going on. It's just too much. But this was, you know, there's always going to be me pet eight. She's in a superhero universe now, and yet these three just battle on and sort it out themselves. They don't phone Spider-Man up. They don't phone Thor up. That'll always do my head in once you've got... an MCU, so to speak. It always burns me head out why Batman doesn't just phone Superman up. Do you know what I mean? But apart from that, I absolutely loved it. So,
yeah. Good. Right. That wraps up our thoughts on the Marvels. Obviously, we're a little bit behind with Loki. That will be incoming. Episodes 3 and 4, our thoughts will probably be in the next week or so. We will catch up, but we've got plenty of time to catch up, though we haven't got that much time to catch up as much as we thought anyway, have we, Tony, with What If only being 3 weeks away?
Yes, which sort of they dropped that one on us, didn't they?
Yeah, so that will be at some point probably over the holidays we'll get round to that. So thank you, boys, for joining me. Craig, it was a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, good to speak to you, mate.
And we will be back with our thoughts on Loki Season 2, Episodes 3 and 4 in the very near future. And we'll see you somewhere down the road.